Will you please rise? Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness.
And illumine your church.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path when I lie down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely.
You have me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast.
If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
For it was you who formed my inner parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them? I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading tonight comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. I invite you to listen for the word of God. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds, the song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. In the disgrace of his people, he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
In the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I don't know about you, but I have been surprised how disorienting this process of social distancing and now remaining at home has been. And that even though I have been in the office that is away from home more than usual. You see, there is a provision for clergy and church workers in the remain at home order that says faith leaders, especially if they are leaving home so that others can remain home, are exempt. And since I'm quite certain that you prefer we record these services in the church, and not in front of my yarn closet at home, I have been here more than usual in the last few weeks. But it's not just being quite solitary in the office that has been disorienting. It's also my drive to Boulder. This morning, my commute was 28 minutes for 23 miles. Half of them on city streets with a multitude of traffic lights. A month ago, it took me exactly double that time. And a quick stop for coffee or dinner with friends on my way home is not in the cards anymore. While no one can say that I had a rousing social life before this all started, being so much at home feels simply weird, and yes, disorienting. And I'm sure you feel the same way, especially if you have been home much over the last 2 weeks. This is not how we usually live, and this is not how we are churched together. Human beings are social animals, and right now we are missing the social part of that. But anyone who knows anything about epidemiology is telling us that unless we isolate from one another, the spread of the virus will overwhelm our healthcare system and force doctors and nurses to make decisions that no one wants them to have to make, which means that we have to stay home, not just for ourselves, but most especially for the health of others. So it's perhaps ironic that the fourth week of our Lenten program, Signs of Life, asked us to focus on shelter this week. How and where do we feel at home? What needs to be in place that we can take a deep breath, let it out, and allow ourselves to relax into time, knowing ourselves safe? For many of us, our home is such a place. Even in normal times, we return there day after day, and in the best moments know that this is a place of shelter, of sanctuary for us. We have furnished and decorated and painted it so we feel comfortable there. In the second week of an indefinite home confinement, we have perhaps seen more of it than we ever planned to, but hopefully we have also learned anew how safe and welcome our homes can make us feel. Sanctuary, of course, is a fancier word for shelter. And this is where things get interesting. When you look at the Latin origins of the word, sanctus means holy, and arium is its container, which means that sanctuary is a container for something holy. Sanctuaries are fascinating places because life as usual stops at its walls or borders. This, it announces, this is a place of safety. Nothing can harm you in a sanctuary. Life is different here than outside of it. For many centuries, and in many places until today, fugitives could find immunity within the sanctuary of churches. As long as the fugitive remained within the church, they were beyond the reach of the law. Which is, of course, why it feels so horrific whenever this truth is violated. It goes against our innate feeling of safety when sanctuaries are breached. In the church, sanctuaries are usually shaped by their architecture and their furnishings. Often very beautiful, but in and off of themselves, they are not holy. In themselves, they are simply striking architecture and furnishings. What makes them holy is what happens in them. For the last couple of weeks, the sanctuary has continued to be marked by its unique architecture and furnishings, and even the quilts overhead. And yet, something has been missing. It is the gathered congregation and what we do in this place together that makes this a holy place. What we do in this place is learning of ways to join our journey to God's journey with humanity. What we do in this place is honor our journey's beginning at baptism, its middle at communion, and its end when we do commend someone to the mercy of God here. Even now, without a congregation, it is still a sanctuary because of what has happened here before and also what we expect to happen in here again when things return to a semblance of normal. But it is not only buildings, sanctuaries that shelter us. So do our fellow travelers on the road of faith. We all know people who make us feel safe and respected and honored on the journey. We all know of music, of practices, of liturgies that make us feel at home here. We all need sanctuaries as places of safety and holiness, because we always need places to return to. No matter how faithful or how lost we have been in our lives, we tend to wander, sometimes farther away than others, and then again, really far away. But you know, people, liturgy, music, places always call us back, always call us home. In the midst of our current experience of disorientation, sanctuaries are the places that shelter us, both those that are churches and those that are sanctuaries just to our own lives. And when we know ourselves home, we can open ourselves to experiences of the abundance of God, so that in the midst of isolation, you and I, anyone, can remember to feel that we are not alone. Amen.
Thank you.
in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the health of the creation, for abundant harvests that all may share, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For public servants, the government, and those who protect us, for those who work to bring peace, justice, healing, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all healthcare workers and all who keep our common life going in this extraordinary time, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel, for those who are sick and suffering, and for those who are in captivity, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For deliverance in the time of affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all servants of the Church, for this assembly, and for all people who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Giving thanks for all who have gone before us and are at rest, rejoicing in the communion of all the saints, we commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to you, through Christ our Lord.
To you, O Lord.
And together we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Stay safe in this time, stay healthy, and know yourself held by God's grace.
Thanks be to God.